Production planning, cost calculations. The S&OP production plan is the tactical plan specifying how production will be carried out over the medium term. It will be tied back to strategy and the manufacturing business plan because it is a consensus plan developed in sales and operations planning. Production plans are used to track total production by volume and by cost, as well as to determine the degree to which other goals, such as cycle times or sustainable manufacturing goals, were met. Production plans will specify ending inventory targets per period. These targets could be set at zero, as well as inventory carrying costs. The plan will follow a given production strategy, for example, chase, for a given manufacturing environment, for example, make to order, process type, and layout. It might determine the rate of production per day in advance or allow it to shift throughout the year as demand information becomes available. In general, S&OP production plans require the following information as inputs: sales plan, including back orders, orders late for delivery, broken down by planning bucket period, opening inventory, or opening backlog, if leveling production, targeted ending inventory, or projected backlog, if leveling production. Exhibit 2-25 shows a comparison of the level chase and hybrid methods for MTO or MTS environments. The outsourced / subcontracted method is not shown. Exhibit 2-25, production planning methods summary. Because these plans can become quite complex, we will first demonstrate one of the simpler varieties, a make-to-stock production plan with a level strategy, before getting into a more detailed scenario. Commercial door manufacturer's MTS level production plan. We will assume that the commercial door manufacturer has reason to believe that its forecast will be fairly accurate because demand is fairly stable. It has predictable seasonality and the trend is slightly downward but stable. So a level strategy will be used. Make to stock will work for the organization's standard doors. It uses MTO for its custom doors because the required delivery time is shorter than the manufacturing lead time. There are deliberately few product options, and the product has a long shelf life. Exhibit 2-26 shows the organization's annual product family sales plan per month, as well as the total annual demand in the final column. It also includes the opening inventory for the end of the prior year, shown as the ending inventory for month zero in this and the later example, since the last period's ending inventory is the next period's beginning inventory, as well as the targeted ending inventory, shown in month 12. Assume that there are no back orders. Exhibit 2-26. Initial information for MTS level production plan. The first step in developing this plan is to sum the sales to find the annual total, 3,720. Next, the planner determines the projected beginning inventory for the period and sets a target ending inventory. In this case, demand is on a downward trend, so the decision is to end with 400 units of inventory rather than 520 units. In a make-to-stock level production plan, production per time period is not simply the average period demand. Instead, the opening and targeted inventory levels are taken into account using the following calculation. Now that beginning and ending inventory have been accounted for, total production is averaged by dividing by the number of periods, or 3,600 divided by 12 equals 300 units per month. Since production is leveled, the amount to enter into each production field is 300 units. Next, the ending inventory per period is calculated. If there is ending inventory in any period that is below the amount set for the family in the minimum inventory policy, adjustments will need to be made. Ending inventory is calculated as follows. For the first period, the prior period ending inventory will be the opening inventory. This is calculated below. Exhibit 2-27 shows production and ending inventory calculated for each period, as well as the average inventory per period. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines average inventory as 1/2 the average lot size plus the safety stock, when demand and lot sizes are expected to be relatively uniform over time. The average can be calculated as an average of several inventory observations taken over several historical time periods. For example, 12-month ending inventories may be averaged. When demand and lot sizes are not uniform, the stock level versus time can be graphed to determine the average. Average inventory is calculated as follows. Exhibit 2-27. Completed MTS level production plan. Note that the inventory does get low in the spring and early summer, but there are no stockouts, so this is considered a workable plan. Next, we need to determine the inventory carrying cost of this plan. There are two ways that carrying cost rates might be calculated. One way is to calculate a rate that is based on ending inventory levels per period. Another is to calculate a rate based on average inventory levels per period. In the first method, you would multiply the ending inventory for the period by the ending inventory carrying cost rate per period. The sum of these, say, monthly costs would then be the total cost for the year. For example, if the ending inventory carrying cost rate is $9 per unit per month, this rate would be multiplied by each period's ending inventory. For example, for period 1 it would be. Each period would be separately calculated, and the costs could be summed to find an annual total of these costs. Let's instead assume that the carrying cost rate is $10 per month per unit, and this is based on average inventory. Carrying cost using an average carrying cost rate is calculated by multiplying the average inventory per period by the average inventory carrying cost rate, and then summing the period costs, for period 1, for example. The same is done for each period. The result of these calculations will be as follows. Note that if you instead find the annual average inventory level by summing last year's ending inventory of 520 units and this year's ending inventory of 400 units, and then dividing by 2, you get an average annual inventory of 460 units. Since this is an annual average, the carrying cost rate also needs to be an annual cost, so this cost estimate differs because it doesn't factor in the mid-year drop in inventory to very low levels. Since we are trying to assess the true costs of these strategies, we will use the $29,200 cost estimate. Note that carrying cost is often calculated against the average value of the inventory rather than average inventory in units. This method will be covered shortly. If the plan had stockouts, then either the monthly level might be changed or production levels might be changed for part of the year, making it a hybrid strategy. Changes such as these would increase the cost of the plan. Since these things were not necessary, and there is no cost associated with changing production levels, the $29,200 is the total cost of the plan in our example. Note that if safety stocks are held, they are typically deducted from the opening and ending inventory prior to calculating the level production value. This is done to prevent distortion of that calculation, which would otherwise result in a higher production value than would be required. The carrying cost for this safety stock would add to the total cost. Level and chase detailed calculation scenario. Next, we'll examine how to calculate level and chase production using a more detailed method. We'll also look at an example using a different company's planning information as provided in Exhibit 2-28, which follows. Exhibit 2-28, Company Planning Information. Note, in the formulas for calculating level and chase production, T stands for the current time period, T plus 1 is the next time period, and T1 is the previous time period. Note also that an average number of working days per quarter is used here to keep calculations simple for S and OP planning purposes. The actual number of days in each quarter will differ somewhat, but this is too detailed at this broad planning stage. Calculating level production. The steps to calculate a level production plan with a constant number of employees and a target level days of supply at the end of the planning horizon are as follows. Step 1. Calculate the level production and number of employees needed. Step 2. Calculate ending inventory levels and days of supply. Step 3. Calculate remaining costs and sum them by quarter and by line item. Exhibit 2-29 displays the completed calculations for level production. This 107 days of inventory, rounded, is how many days the quarter 1 inventory would last during quarter 2 and beyond if no more inventory was produced. Exhibit 2-29, Level Production Plan. Calculating chase production. In a make-to-stock chase strategy, the production will match the demand, but only after adjustments are made related to opening inventory and desired ending inventory. Rather than having an opening and an ending inventory, MTO environments have an opening backlog and a projected backlog that consists of unfilled customer orders that are not yet overdue. New orders are added to the end of this queue. The scenario that follows presumes an MTS chase strategy. Let's walk through what we need to do conceptually before getting into the math. The primary goal of an MTS chase strategy is to keep inventory levels very low since this is the envisioned benefit. Therefore, rather than starting with a known production rate and calculating period inventory levels as is done for level, with MTS chase, we will be starting with a planned inventory level and then determining the required production. The planned inventory level can be set by policy in this case, for example, at the safety stock level. However, Since this method is often used in environments with dynamic demand fluctuations, setting the minimum inventory or safety stock level at a fixed amount could result in too much safety stock in some periods and not enough in others. Therefore, a common way to allow inventory minimums to fluctuate is to determine a target number of days of supply. Exhibit 2-30 shows the first portion of a chase production plan. This plan makes the following assumptions. Production in each quarter is based on sales in the next quarter. Days of supply at the end of each quarter are the days of supply for the next quarter. A spreadsheet application is used to make the calculations. Values are not rounded off for interim calculations. Only the final values display rounding. Exhibit 2-30. Partial chase production plan. Since days of supply is how long inventory will last if you produce nothing and just sell off your inventory, let's see how long the beginning inventory of 1,000 units in period 1 will last. This is the period 0 ending inventory. No production is yet necessary, but the chase plan has a policy to end the period with at least 50 days of supply for the next period. So we need to calculate how much that is to see if 600 units is enough. Let's take these 600 units of projected available balance to quarter 2, where, since this is a negative value, production is necessary. The units per day is calculated as follows. If the policy is to keep 50 days of sales per quarter in safety stock, then this would be. Now we can calculate the quarter 1 production, subtracting the 600 units of beginning inventory. If nothing new is produced, from the 794 units of ending inventory equals 194 units of production to get to that target ending inventory level. As is shown in the quarter 1 chase production plan, the steps to calculate a chase production plan with a fluctuating number of employees based on maintaining a target level of 50 days of supply per quarter are as follows. This includes examples of how to calculate the Q3 values. Step 1. Calculate end-of-period inventory target values. Step 2. Calculate the operations plan in units. Step 3. Calculate the number of employees required. Step 4. Calculate hires and fires, layoffs, each period. Exhibit 2-31 displays the completed calculations for the chase production cost analysis. Note that hires and fires are calculated in a slightly different way below, but they arrive at the same result. For example, fires are showed using minus signs. Note also that inventory holding costs are calculated by multiplying the ending inventory per quarter by the inventory holding rate. The HR change costs are calculated by multiplying the hiring/firing cost by the number of hires/fires, and the wages are calculated by multiplying the quarter wage by the number of workers. These data are found in the company planning information presented earlier. Exhibit 2-31, Chase Production Plan. Let's look back now to compare the costs of these two plans. Exhibit 2-32 shows the level costs from the prior example. This analysis shows that Chase can save 17.5% on production costs if the various assumptions hold true. Note, however, that a practice of regularly hiring and laying off workers can have challenges related to finding and retaining good workers. A qualitative analysis may need to follow the quantitative analysis. Exhibit 2-32. Level production plan costs for comparison. Calculating mixed production. Calculating a mixed, hybrid production plan is complex. Approaches can include trial and error, what-if analysis via spreadsheets done by a worksheet power user, or more sophisticated advanced planning software tools, which may leverage AI to automate the trial and error and simulation processes to find an optimum solution. To set up one of these methods and enable testing to get this method right, it is recommended that a grid be set up similar to what would be used for chase or level production. One of the key decisions that will need to be made is the decision variables, items allowed to vary during the process.